Dear friends in Christ, it was in the year 1920, or exactly half a century ago, that the Evangelical Lutheran Synod of Missouri, Ohio, and other states, as our church body was known at that time, resolved in its convention at Detroit, Michigan, to relocate Concordia Seminary from its site on South Jefferson Avenue in St. Louis, and to erect a new plant on what was known as the DeMunn Tract in suburban Clayton. Charles Zeller Clauder of the Philadelphia firm of Day and Clauder became the principal architect. We are told that as he developed the plan for the proposed Gothic complex, he first designed the Luther Tower as the chief focal point, and then planned the other buildings to surround and complement it in suitable fashion. Into this tower, he incorporated space and proper design to house a sizable cast bell carillon. The foundation and base of the tower were constructed in time for the seminary dedication in 1926, but it was a full 40 years later before the superstructure was completed. At that time, the addition of the carillon was a fond hope, but an apparently unattainable goal, since the efforts of almost a decade had produced just enough money to build the tower and furnish the chapel of the Holy Apostles in its base. One day, however, the president's mail contained a letter which brought the announcement of the death of an old friend of the seminary from its South St. Louis days, Mr. Arthur Teamer. One of the provisions of his will was the bequest of a large sum of money to be used for the acquisition of bells for the Luther Tower. Mr. Teamer had a great love for the students and faculty and expressed the hope that his gift to them would be used to cause the tunes of Lutheran chorales and other suitable music to float over the beautiful campus at regular hours in order to encourage all who heard them in the performance of their God-given tasks. His example spurred on others, and it was not long before the costs of the 49 bell carillon were covered. The contract was awarded to the Van Bergen Bell Foundries, a firm with a long-standing reputation for stability, integrity, and the excellent quality of its workmanship. It is with gratitude to God and under him to the generous donors that we today, on the eve of our National Thanksgiving Day, and at the threshold of the Advent season, which signals the beginning of a new year of God's grace, consecrate to the service of God the Luther Tower Carillon. You will find a brief description of it on the last page of the service folder. In addition to what is said there, I merely wish to call attention to the inscription on the large rectangular stones placed in the four sides of the tower near its top. They read, Te Deum laudamus, Te Dominum confitemur. The tower and the carillon it houses are designed to lead the entire campus community in daily praise of God, in grateful acknowledgement of him as our Lord. The ancient canticle, Benedicite Omnia Opera, urges all the works of the Lord to bless him, to praise and magnify him forever. Among the creatures it mentions are the waters, sun, moon, and stars, showers, winds, ice, snow, mountains, hills, and many others. Now, we add to that list the stones and the metals that came from the bosom of the earth, and we call upon them also to bless the Creator and to lead us in the praise of him who loves us, made us his own through Christ Jesus, and sustains us through word and sacrament, so that we may fulfill our purpose as his children, and thank and praise, serve and obey him. The tower is a memorial to the entire ministry of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. As we of the present generation join the noble army of those who have gone before us in fulfilling this ministry, and prepare the way for those who are to follow, may we, Wherever on this wide world we may be, and in whatever circumstances we may be serving, frequently turn in our thoughts to Luther Tower and its carillon and carry out our tasks with a Te Deum in our hearts and on our lips. Amen.
The Apostle of our Lord says, "All things are consecrated through the word of God and prayer." Let us then consecrate the new carillon of Concordia Seminary by hearing with faith the promise of God's word and by calling on his name in prayer.
The 13th chapter of the first epistle of St. Paul to the Corinthians. "And now I will show you the best way of all. I may speak in tongues of men or of angels, but if I am without love, I am a sounding gong or a clanging cymbal. I may have the gift of prophecy and know every hidden truth. I may have faith strong enough to move mountains, but if I have no love, I am nothing. I may dole out all I possess or even give my body to be burnt, but if I have no love, I am none the better. Love is patient, love is kind and envies no one. Love is never boastful nor conceited nor rude, never selfish, not quick to take offense. Love keeps no score of wrongs, does not gloat over other men's sins, but delights in the truth. There is nothing love cannot face. There is no limit to its faith, its hope, and its endurance. Love will never come to an end. Are there prophets? Their work will be over. Are there tongues of ecstasy? They will cease. Is there knowledge? It will vanish away. For our knowledge and our prophecy alike are partial, and the partial vanishes when wholeness comes. When I was a child, my speech, my outlook, and my thoughts were all childish. When I grew up, I had finished with childish things. Now we see only puzzling reflections in a mirror, but then we shall see face to face. My knowledge now is partial, then it will be whole, like God's knowledge of me. In a word, there are three things that last forever: faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of them all is love."
The second lesson is written in the 14th chapter of St. Mark, beginning at the third verse. "And while he was at Bethany in the house of Simon the leper, as he sat at table, a woman came with an alabaster jar of ointment of pure nard, very costly. And she broke the jar and poured it over his head. But there were some who said to themselves indignantly, 'Why was the ointment thus wasted? For this ointment might have been sold for more than 300 denarii and given to the poor.' And they reproached her. But Jesus said, 'Let her alone. Why do you trouble her? She has done a beautiful thing to me. For you always have the poor with you, and whenever you will, you can do good to them. But you will not always have me. She has done what she could. She has anointed my body beforehand, before burying. And truly I say to you, wherever the gospel is preached in the whole world, what she has done will be told in memory of her.'" Here ends the lesson.
Let us pray as our Lord has taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Let us pray. Almighty God, you are the creator of all the good and perfect gifts which enable artists to cast bells from the metals of the earth. We ask for the benediction of your grace, that the bells which we today consecrate to your service may at all times sound forth your glory, and may serve to call together the redeemed for the worship of your name. When they announce the times and hours of the day, let them remind us of eternity, and when they proclaim the joy of baptism or the sorrow of death, then let their tolling proclaim to us the never-ending day of celebration in your presence. Lord, hear our prayer through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord.
Amen.
Now let the greatest bell be sounded, because it will from this time forth sound the hours of the day, and because it is the foundation for all the other bells, let its ringing represent the tones of the other bells and our offering of the complete sound to the glory of God. Now let the smallest bell be sounded, because it is the smallest bell, and because from this time forth it will be known as the baptismal bell, reminding us of our baptism and announcing all those here brought into the kingdom of grace through holy baptism, with the promise that Jesus Christ will be with us to the close of the age, let its ringing represent the magnitude of Christ's kingdom and the expanse of his glory. Now let these two bells, together with all the bells of the Carillon of Concordia Seminary, cast by Master Artist Van Bergen, be consecrated to the glory and service of God and his Church, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us join our voices to the sounds of these bells for the glory of God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Lord, in glad and o'er Christopher.
He's right up there if you want to talk to him. Right behind there.